four. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing.
Hello, Marty. Good morning, Marty.
1, 2, 3, 4. N2IRJ. Testing.
Hello, N2IRJ, KD8IUU.
Hey, how you doing? So what, boy, did you get some sleep after the Liberty Net, or did you still stay up like I did?
I fell asleep on the sofa and halfway listened out to you guys as you wound it. It never seemed to wind down last night. Am I wrong?
Oh, I am exhausted. It went on 7 hours and 14 minutes, I think. I just finished uploading it to the site, so if you care to listen to it, it's possible. But I didn't get any sleep yet. I was messing with my controls. This isn't how I had things set for the net. I'm glad you showed up, because you could maybe help me. You might have heard me on the net. I'm not sure if you did or not, and I was wondering, I changed my settings. It's running a lot more hot now, and so to speak, and it might be too hot. It might be objectionable. I just don't know. Before, I was running it at a 6 dB boost and higher frequencies. Now it's up to a 15 dB, and I was just wondering what it sounds like to you. Over.
Okay, you're talking about, you've got an audio equalizer in there. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm externally doing all kinds of games with this thing.
Okay, yes, your highs, you're doing what, it sounds to me like Vic is doing something similar there. It sounds like he has his, he doesn't have terribly wide bandwidth, okay, in the 3 kilohertz. Maybe he goes to 28 or something like that, but he says sharpens up the highs at the very top, and it sort of punches him through. It punches him sound. Now, you do a similar thing, is that right?
Well, actually, not exactly. It turns out that I'm into high fidelity, and Vic is into the piercing narrow-banded audio. And his might theoretically punch through better than mine, but I'm going with a wider bandwidth. He, in fact, on his receive, he restricts everything under 200 hertz, and he only listens up to, I forget, 2800 or something like that, and I'm more full range. I was more full range on the net, you know, 7 hours ago. But I've since made it a little bit more like Vic. I'm still as wide. It's just I'm putting more energy into the, like, 2 and 3,000 band, and I didn't have any way of recording it remotely yet to hear myself to know if it's okay. I know that it sounded okay on the net, but I don't know if it's sounding okay now or not. I'm trying to slightly sneak it up to be like either Vic or KO4FE, but not so much that it sounds like a contester that's gone wild with his, you know, equalizer, his processor, I should say. Over.
Yeah, well, I set up for high fidelity. You could probably tell. I don't know if you can tell on my mic or not there how I'm set up, but I set myself extremely neutral. In fact, I even compensate for the crystal filters, the filter that use the in this radio that generate the 2900 hertz bandwidth, 2800 hertz bandwidth. I even adjust for the 6 dB slope on those, and I make everything absolutely flat otherwise. And so I, that, what I'm really saying here is I try to make everything hi-fi like you. I have the same objective like you do. Okay, but here's what's happening. Here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that for a while there you sounded like you were just getting too close to the microphone. That was one thing. Okay. In other words, I was hearing some what you could call soft clipping, okay, or the effect of the compression that was happening, okay, to some extent. Now, if you had an amplifier on, the amplifier itself will do that soft clipping as it gets tends to get overdriven, and sometimes that even results in some broadness there. So you want to do these experiments more barefoot if you can, and then you want to get the amplifier to stay linear with you after you get all those settings done. But here's what I'm hearing, Marty, if it's any help. I just want to let you know, you and I are the same, so I know what neutral sounds like pretty well. I heard your voice enough. It doesn't sound neutral to me. It sounds hyped up and high, like you're talking about, but worse. Here's the thing is you may want to make sure that you, for the way you have your highs boosted, what you were trying to achieve there, you may want to put something back in the upper mid-range, in the mid-range to upper mid-range. Your bottom is fine. The bottom is just very, very fine, clean, and very, very natural. You don't have a high-pitched voice, and I don't think you've added any bass boost there to make yourself to compensate for your voice at all. But the voice sounds consonant with the rest of this, but the mid-range does not sound consonant anymore like it used to, if that'll help. So what you may want to do is, if you're 6 dB, and you've got a 6 dB per octave type of slope on your equalizer, and you've got a 6 dB boost, let's say you've got it at 2400 hertz, you may want to do a 3 dB, a 2 or 3 dB boost at somewhere around 1200 QSO.
Yes, it turns out that I'm aware of that. I will need to fine-tune the EQ. This was just a course adjustment that I did for this past LibertyNet, and I certainly do not want to have any kind of clipping, hard or soft. So what I did, I now reverted back to the way it was set during the past LibertyNet. Does it sound any different to you? Over.
Well, you did it just right now. It sounds much more natural. It sounds more full in the middle, in the mid. Okay, but you can have both worlds there. You can have both worlds if you like, perhaps by just presenting a little more gradual slope in the mid. In the mids get sucked out. That's what's happening. The mids get sucked out. Not that they're decentered. Your equalizer is probably an analog equalizer. Okay, and I don't know if it's a digital equalizer or an analog equalizer, but if it's an analog equalizer, it will have phase shift. Okay, and it'll tend to produce the kind of sound that I'm hearing. And you can get that back by boosting the mid just a little, go 2 dB on the mid somewhere. And up in the highs, maybe around 2400 hertz, there's where you put your 6. I don't hear you clipping per se at all. But it sounded much more natural to that second setting you had there, QSO.
Yes, this is the conservative setting that I used for the net, and at a later date I was going to try to perfect it. I'm so darn tired I can't do it now, really, except for some minor changes. But I'm wondering, what do you consider to be the mids? And also, I forgot your name. My name, as you know, is Marty. What's your name again?
Marty's the name is Stan. Can you give me about 30 seconds here? I'll be right back.
Certainly, Stan. N2IRJ standing by.
LN2IRJ, KD8IUU. Marty, we're back with you.
Okay, Stan. Turns out I've looked you up before, and we're approximately 450 miles apart. And I used to have a joke stored up, but I can't remember the full joke. What was it? I was going to ask you, when I talked to you one-on-one one day, I was going to ask you if you, something about something oxide, I think. I can't remember. What is a galena crystal made of? I can't remember. I'm too tired, I can't remember. That's what the joke was. Is your town or city known for that element, that compound, I mean? Or is it just a name? Over.
It could be. I doubt it very, very much. I think Galena, Ohio. Galena, Illinois is the crystal mine area or something like that, I've been told, okay? This Galena is somebody woke up and said, what shall we call a town? And maybe, and never, I think the population here never grew to be any more than about 50. And we have a post office, and that's about it. I actually live in Berlin. I'm taxed in Berlin Township, receive the mail in Galena, so because it's where you receive your mail that, according to Ohio law, determines the town you live, the name of the town. But the town I get my taxes from is Berlin. So that's the story here.
Okay, fine business. Well,
okay, anyway, I'm trying to finish the rest of the joke, though, the Galena, Ohio joke.
You knew what I was talking about, like, at least. I think it was like lead, oxide, sulfur. I used to know it. I'm having a memory lapse here.
You know,
but you know what I was talking about, the cat's whisker, old crystal radio, and the Galena crystal.
Galena,
that was the name for the... The compound that was used. And I figured if I ever talked to you one day, I'd tease you about that. But you heard that it was really in Illinois where they actually did mine it, and that's where the name came from, maybe.
Yeah, now that could be wrong, too, you know. So, now Galena means, I don't know if it's a Greek word or a Roman word. I don't know which it is, but it's probably Greek. It means lead. It means lead, and it's a lead crystal that, and we know the rest of the story there in the Marconi radio, QSO.
Yeah, maybe it was lead sulfate or something like that. I can't remember anymore what it was, but you know what I'm talking about. Well, you are really well-versed in audio, I can tell. And of all people to run into, it's great. And yes, I certainly can tell that you have very clean-sounding audio. And I appreciate that. It turns out that, unfortunately, as much as I like the LibertyNet, very few people like us exist there. Most of them are into just cranking it up. And if it means bringing up blower noise or anything else, they don't care. And like I said, Vic and I have a running teasing battle for like 20 years. And that is, you know, he insists on the narrow bandedness, and I insist on the high fidelity. But I'm younger, and I guess maybe someday my hearing will deteriorate, and I won't be able to appreciate the bandwidth maybe, and then I'll end up being a narrow bander myself. But for now, I want to appreciate what I can appreciate. Is your rig all decked out? I mean, did you, say, tap into the balanced modulator and bypass stages or modify things over?
Oh, well, yeah. Let's put it this way, is... it was passing the general class license at age 12. By the way, I have not been licensed for 50. I wasn't licensed for 48 years in And it was not 50 years, it was 50 years before I got back on the radio, but I dropped my general class license in 1962 that I got at age 12. And just having to go there and shaking my boots before those FCC engineer examiners, and they actually fine-tuned the questions right there. And wrote some of the test questions down just a few minutes before you took the test, and they had you draw schematics and all kinds of stuff. Well, anyway, it gave me such a skill set that it gave me an entire career. By the time I was a junior, beginning junior year in high school, I was leaving high school every day and going and working in an electronics company till 8 o'clock every night. And, I ended up I became an apprentice engineer, an actual design engineer for a company in Silicon Valley. And so I learned all this breadboarding and everything from Hi-Fi. I learned how to so poor you can't believe it. Okay, and homebrewed everything. I put a kilowatt input in a Volkswagen with two other guys. One supplied the car, I supplied the radio, and another guy supplied the motor generators that came out of aircraft to come up with the power supply. And we had another guy, his father had a machine shop, and he told me put external belts and pulleys and all kinds of stuff on the Volkswagen to drive this thing. So we had a linear amplifier, believe it or not. way back then, a 3500Z in a Volkswagen, can you imagine? So anyway, two of them actually, two 3500Zs in a Volkswagen. So and you stepped on the gas, and if you decided you were going to push the mic button down, the car would almost stall. Okay. You pushed the mic button down. Now, that was AM, by the way. That was not single sideband. So that was real power. I've done a lot of home brewing and that sort of thing. So, and I've been graduate of University of California at Berkeley. I couldn't afford Stanford University. The two professors that ran the company that paid for my education, I couldn't quite. They were glad to pay for the University of California at Berkeley, but not Stanford tuition. So I used to drive across the East Bay every night and, from Palo Alto, California. So that's where I come from there, Marty KV2. Back to you, Marty KD8IU.
Wow, you were a wonder child, and then you continued on into life. And I guess you were just so busy for those 50 years, but I'm so glad you came back to amateur radio. It's a true love. Yeah, I started out, and I was like you, except the Morse code was hard for me. So finally, I ended up disciplining myself and actually enjoying its musical rhythm. Yeah. But it was only after I could copy it in my head and not have to write it down that I achieved that kind of peace with it. So it's actually beautiful for me. I have a car in which, up until recently, I had a 700-watt amplifier. It was transistorized. And I know what you mean about pressing the gas pedal down to compensate for the engine load. I'm impressed. That's wild. This was a Volkswagen Type 1 sedan that had the 2500Zs in it. And how much power did it put out? A full kilowatt, you say?
No, it was input. The input was 1,000 watts. So we could not get motor generators that were capable of that. These things came out of military aircraft. Okay, there were four. 28 volt motor generators in series parallel arrangements, and we had pulleys, of course the batteries. That Volkswagen was still a 6 volt Volkswagen, believe it or not, a 6 volt Volkswagen, one of the very earliest ones. It was like a 1953 bus. 1952. Oh, and so we had totally separate, we had, the bus had its generator for charging its battery, and then we had a battery arrangement, and it was, and we were series parallel, 48 actually, 28 times 2, 56 volts. 56 volts, and then we had parallel batteries. But we didn't go to the third set of batteries in parallel because these were just absolutely monstrous batteries. The battery weight alone on the Volkswagen itself was about 690 pounds, if you can imagine. There, just the batteries alone, and for this thing. So anyway, it was fun, Marty. Anyway, I was just saying that where I came, you asked me if I did any breadboarding. Well, I learned to do that. I worked for these electronic companies, and they turned me into a design engineer, put me in a lab. I started off, you know, at age 14, going after school every day and assembling power supplies. And then they took me to the lab, and they had
the frequencies in these tanks.
Okay, and then they took me to the test bench and had me test the production when it went out the door. And then they took me back to the lab, and pretty soon I was building all of the prototypes of all the equipment the company sold. So
the frequencies in use. Thank you.
I went to work for a company that was very, very sophisticated in Palo Alto. By the way, the first company I worked for was a company called Linear Systems, and they made switching power supplies that were used for mobile applications, where you would take a swan, a drake, a collant, and you would replicate all the voltage requirements in a toroid transformer, a very high current toroid transformer. And you'd have a switching, a switching frequency, okay, that was higher than the 120 hertz, and it was a DC to DC converter instead of becoming an inverter, which took the 12 volts to 110 volts square wave. We just generated a square wave at all the various B plus voltages that were necessary, like 370 volts and for swans and various voltages for transceivers, and had quite a business there, Marty. It was a company called Linear Systems, and I have Swan. There's a guy in a Swan Club, and to this day, they still have Linear System power supplies working to this day, and that was but right back in 1961, QSL.
Wow, what an incredible story. I'm impressed. Jesus. Well, the short story on me is that I'm into cars and I'm a motorhead, but I graduated from college as an engineering physicist. I went on and got my master's degree, and I did nuclear engineering work. I was a nuclear engineer at Oak Ridge National Laboratory and field technical manager for Hyundai Motor America. And anyway, let me just ask you about something. The way my audio is, I'm going to change something. Okay, I changed something, and it's minor, and I was just wondering if you could tell any difference. Over.
Yeah, you're starting to sound like Vic. It's starting to sound bleached.
No kidding. You actually detected how much. Now, Vic is probably about here, or maybe worse. How is it there?
Just give me the two comparisons again, if you would, okay?
Yeah, gladly. This is where I'm thinking I might be sounding like Vic, and here's where I was when I was on the LibertyNet last night. Here I am sounding like Vic, probably, and here is where I was on the LibertyNet last night.
Okay, the Vic sound is, to my ear, I could have everything all backwards and wrong here, but it's just a risk I got to take that being wrong, okay? To my ear, I like the sound The Vic sound punches through better. It's a little bit more quieting. Okay. But the other sound I like a little bit better, but I'm not really turned on by the other sound at all. I think you might find a setting where you can achieve more of your... Here's one thing that worked good last night. Here's one thing that worked good. The settings you had last night, you just gave me that again, I believe. No, you got close to it again to the 20. But the setting you had last night was very, very quiet. I never heard you with such quieting before. In other words, even though your signal was high, okay, the quieting that I heard was not... And that's what you need. You definitely need that in the role that you're doing on the radio. That's why what the difference is, you're going to be heard very clearly. People are not going to get exasperated with him. You'll really be glad to let the fidelity of his voice and sound go to hell in a handbasket in order to achieve that. I think that's what you're trying to get some of without destroying much of the fidelity. Okay, and I think you were close, but there is an irritating, slightly irritating edge to my ear. Now, my ear is used to listen to ham heads, you know, which we are. We tend to be ham heads. We'll all go for a fixed type of sound in a tough situation. And that's what you have. You have guys that two-thirds of the time, one-half of your audience can't hardly hear you, and therefore you want to do some of what Vic has. Okay, I would want to do it too. The question is what's the best combination? That's where I'm going with it. I think you want some of that high-end crispness up there at the top. Okay, it did help punch you through and did help quiet the thing last night. The question is what's the right combination, QSL?
Yes, well, it turns out that when I was talking to you earlier, I was messing with the EQ, but the EQ is back to where it was last night, and theoretically, I should be sounding almost identical to last night. The band, of course, has changed. It's now daylight. Maybe something in between the two extremes, like this. In theory, I should be a little bit more irritating, a little bit more like Vic, but not as bad as Vic, but can you tell anything? I made a slight change. I went from a 2-to-1 compression ratio to a 3-to-1. Could you tell any difference? Over?
Oh, I sure could. I sure could. And let's see. Yes, I sure could, but I don't like, let me put it this way, I more prefer the more natural sound, okay? It does add a little more quieting. It does another thing. It brings your mid-levels up that we're missing. Some of the hollowness is gone. It might do the trick more. Let me just listen to the two, compare it again, okay?
Okay. This is the way I was on the LibertyNet last night, and by the way, if you hear any clipping, you let me know, because I want to adjust the peak stop limiter to prevent any clipping. And now I'll turn it over to the other ratio. This is the 3-to-1 ratio. This is where I sound a little bit more like Vic, and you said the mids are coming up a little bit more too. It's filling in there. Of course, I can always set the equalizer properly, and eventually I will do that. But like I said, and this is just a rough setting for now, and I'll get everything fine-tuned before next week. Back to you.
Okay, do you have a monitor available with your transceiver, or were you able to actually sample the RF and feed the tiny portion back of it to your receiver, to decode the RF through the receiver and hear yourself?
Well, at the expense of your losing all respect for me, I'm going to make an admission to you.
I don't. I do have a Tektronix oscilloscope, but it's missing the probes. I was going to make my own probe. I was going to twist some wires together and just have the capacitance between the two and do exactly what you said. But I haven't had a chance to do that yet. That is the only true way to know. I'm relying on the second best way, or in some ways parallel, and that is getting an expert such as yourself to make feedback to me. I can't ask just anybody, as you know. They wouldn't even understand what we're talking about. Just realize that at the moment I'm oscilloscopeless, but that won't be a permanent condition. I'm going to be buying some racks, and I'm really going to make a nice setup in here. And when I do that, I'll have the oscilloscope right there so I can constantly monitor my station as it should be. In fact, I'm going to take it one step further. It'll actually monitor the output of the amplifier. So if that is mistuned in any way, I'll know about it. Back to you.
Yeah, that's great. That's terrific. Very good. You're going to end up with a real geekdom shack there. That's great. That's fun. All you need to do is go to the junkyard and find a set of rabbit ears and set them on the top of the cabinet, QSL.
Yes, okay. Yeah, well, you're saying about sampling that way?
No, I was just joking. I was just joking. You took me too seriously. I was just talking about that you're bringing new racks in. You know, a lot of people, because we're in the high-tech area, miniaturization of everything, now you're bringing 18-inch racks and rack cabinets into your shack. And I was saying, boy, this is real refreshing. Geek, old-fashioned geekdom. It's kind of neat to see this happen. I was saying that after you get your oscilloscope in the rack and all your nice old 18-inch front panelized old legacy transceivers and everything like that into the rack, and have a beautiful display in your shack there of a combination of new and old, that all you need is to get an old-fashioned set of TV rabbit ears that have the round loop in the top, you know, for the UHF, that with a big knob, and made out of Bakelite, and put that on the very top of your rack, and you've hit a home run. QSL?
Yeah, QSL. Turns out I can think of another type of rack, too, on a deer, and also on something else. Hi. N2IRJ. I'm going to do another experiment here. I have my own method of determining without the oscilloscope. Unfortunately, I have another method of determining it. Let me try it with you by your ear. You mentioned about clipping before. I have a control called a peak stop limiter, which limits rapid rates of change. For example, if you made a clicking sound with your tongue, even at a low audio level, it would stop there too rapid of a rise that might overshoot. Let me just talk and put it in two different positions. I'll call this position one where we are now. Actually, I'll try three positions. This is position one. This is position two. This is position two. Position two. And finally, here's position three, position three, position three. Back to position one, position one, position one, position two, position two, position two, and this is position three, position three. And it's possible they all sound the same. I'll find out. I'm going to unkey, and you can let me know, Stan.
No, they don't. They don't. Now, I could be completely wet as a hen here. Position 2 sounds right to me, or more right to me.
Okay.
And position 1 sounded, position 2, one of them sounded a little bit spitty. One of them sounded a little bit spitty, and I'm trying to remember which one.
Okay. Let me do this then. I bet you I know it's between 2 and 3. It's here. This is a position that might be spitty, or maybe this is the one that sounds spitty. I'll call this one A. This is AAA. This one is BBB. This one is AAA. This one is BBB. So is it AAA or is it BBB that's spitty? Over.
I think it is B. I could be wrong, but B seems to get a sucked out sound that loses some of the energy that something like soft clipping would eliminate. I could be wrong. QSL?
Once again, you're right. It turns out that I'm back to injecting more rapid attack of peak stop limitation, and I'm running a tighter envelope now, and I didn't think that I was overshooting before, but maybe I was. I could even take it further. It might start sounding really artificial and weird, but just for the heck of it, let me crank it up little by little until it's completely controlling like mad. Right now it's controlling like mad. I'll put it back to where maybe it's okay, but that's for you to determine. Over.
Yeah, when you put it back, it sounded more natural. It was also fuller, and if you've got a circuit in there that that when you go to that setting, the second setting there, the one you just got off of, and it went back to sounds more full and more natural. But I would think that the one that I described as sounding not full and natural also sounded like it was a saturating sound, but it lost some of its overall power bandwidth. And maybe that was because there was a clipping control in there, and that would rob some of the power of the signal. And that's what I was hearing. So as it turns out, believe it or not, you got more quieting. Okay, actually, without in the what I call the more natural sound of those two. QSL?
That is really neat. I am so glad that I ran into Stan to do this test. There's nothing better than someone who really has an ear, and this is really, really important to me. I'm going to take it, just even though we proved already where it's probably the best, I'm going to take it a little bit beyond here. I'm now moving the control in the direction of where you said I sounded a little bit spitty, and I'm going to continue taking it further and further and further. It's now running wide open. In other words, there's no control whatsoever. I'm now going to bring it back to where you said it's a good compromise between control and overcompensation. Any comments you can make on what I just did? Over.
Yeah, I could sure hear the difference, and it sounds more bleach to me. Okay, we're a little bit more Vic-ish, but it's good. But if I had to say if it sounded like Vic, I'd have to say definitely like Vic's setup. I definitely say it doesn't sound like Vic's setup. Okay, so I don't mean to misconstrue when I say it sounds like Vic, more like Vic. I just meant to spin the slightest way. Okay, but you do, when you're not wide open and natural, you get a little bit of that bleaching. What are you looking, let me ask you this. I stated what I thought you were looking for, and I never heard an affirmation of my take on it, okay? But I never asked you what you are hoping to accomplish, and I think I just mean that, I had said that I thought you were trying to accomplish adding some boost in the high end to cut through the mustard of the signal to some extent without having the fidelity of your sound go to hell in a handbasket and get some of what Vic has without. I said, you asked me, well, how does it sound? What you had last night, and what to me it sounded unnatural compared to. Don't read too much of that word. Comparatively unnatural compared to what I remember you sounded like before. And I was asking myself last night as I was listening to you, what's happened to Marty's audio? Okay. And now I found out today from speaking to you what that was. Okay. And that is that you have a boost up there in the high end somewhere above 2 kilohertz. And what's happening is the mid-range is suffering. So what you might try to do is stay below the clipping point. No matter what you do, stay below the clipping point on your audio The reason you have that in your project is a clipping, the thing that would control the soft clipping, et cetera, is because it better microphones tend to overload in such power bandwidth that the preamplifiers are not able to deal with them, to deal with the power bandwidth that they present. And what happens is the amp wants to, has a natural cue to the thing, the amp itself, the preamp does, and what it'll want to do is it will have a tendency to want to emphasize some of the mid-range or upper frequencies at the expense of lower frequencies. In other words, when you present a lower frequency component, get near the microphone and maybe get a proximity effect to bring your bass in, it'll swamp out the whole mid-range and make it sound like the whole thing went flat. The amp preamp, before you ever even get to anything like soft clipping on the preamp stage, unaltered itself, will provide some soft clipping of your signal because it isn't able to handle with a better microphone. So maybe you have one of these fabulous large condenser microphones, like not a Neumann, but maybe one of the Chinese or Japanese models or something like that. I don't know what you're using there, or maybe you're using a nice old fast dynamic microphone, but there is, fast and dynamic or antithetical. It's hard to find a good dynamic. I can't stand dynamic mics myself. But I'm not hearing a dynamic type of sound out of your voice at all. I'm just, that begs the question, what kind of mic are you using? So anyway, so before you even get to the pure preamp, before you ever get to any equalization or any other things that your audio processor is capable of doing, that provides the soft clipping and everything else, you've got that issue. And it sounds like you're trying to use commercial or high quality audio with a ham rig. And even when you get to the preamp, that the preamp that has the process and everything went to your rig, when you get to the preamp stage, the stage inside of the radio is such a crummy stage that it's often the total net effect you're getting is compromised by that stage, where can't deal with all of even the clipping amplifier. The amplifier that had the processor amplifier, the one that had the other features like the equalizer and the compressor and the noise gate and all of the other features and soft clipping that says I will look for maybe inside of it it's got a circuit that says put the red LEDs on whenever I'm getting close to the top of the peak of the amplifier but when you put soft clipping on, what you do is you do something you put clipping on what it does is it changes and increases the nonlinear distortion of the amplifier tremendously. You're no longer linear in the amplitude domain, irrespective of frequency. And what it does is 1 volt in if should have a gain of 10 with 1 volt in with 10 volts out, you'll have 1 volt in with 9 volts out instead. The linearity will be destroyed, so you'll have what's called a modulation distortion of various types. Nonlinear distortion being the main type, and harmonic is the natural harmonics that are produced from that as well. Now, I've gone too much into this to get beyond the point of your microphone. The question now, to my mind, is, what is your purpose? I guess that's the question I had. Did I state your purpose incorrectly or misunderstand it because I didn't give you a chance to say what you're trying to accomplish? I would think you're trying to get some bass boost in there to where you're cutting through the noise without destroying the natural fidelity of your voice. Is that wrong?
Well, it turns out that you're pretty close. By the way, I made a change, and I'll talk this way,
then after I unkey, you'll be able to tell me what your observations are. My goal is to achieve audio like yours. That's initially what I want to do. What settings will give me the ultimate in fidelity? I realize that I can't fully achieve that objective right now because of the circuitry that precedes the balanced modulator. I'm going to cut some traces and feed it directly. I also replaced the crystal filter. The factory had a wide-skirted 2.4 kilohertz, and I've installed a narrower skirted 3.1 kilohertz filter, much nicer, higher quality one. It's an INRAD. So anyway, what I'm interested in first obtaining is the best fidelity that's possible for this radio. Then secondarily, I want to learn how to alter those settings if I want to simulate a VIC type penetration if necessary. Under a rare circumstance, I might decide if a jammer is hurting us too much to just give up the fidelity momentarily and adjust it for just piercing, nasty, harsh, whatever it takes to blow through, kind of like what Vic does all the time. So that's the story. I understand that I can't have perfect audio. In fact, even if I do all the things I said, that's why down the road I've been talked into by my audiophile friends getting a software-defined radio that is capable of going up to 10 kilohertz in bandwidth, and I can then select what I want. Probably if I were talking to you on a clear day with no one else nearby and we had the elbow room to do so on sideband, I'd go 5 kilohertz and we'd have a nice QSO if we were both there. For voice, probably going beyond that wouldn't be necessary, but that's what I would operate with. It's so nice. It's so pleasing. So anyway, what I did, I'll tell you now, I put the EQ onto the 15 dB setting instead of the 6. So I might be sounding like Vic now. And if so, that's okay. This is just a test. And you can tell me, is it more penetrating? Is it irritating? I mean, where does it fall? Is there clipping? You know, all the details. So back to you, Stan.
It's very interesting, the number you just gave me, 15, and I'll tell you why, because, and I'm just wondering where you place that EQ, okay, what exact frequency, and right now I tend to think you placed it fairly high up, above 2 kilohertz. I don't know exactly where, okay, but now I understand more in that you described this thing about the balanced modulator, using your transceiver is a transmit filter, but it's really a crystal filter is used to keep the spurious products down. Okay, in your transmitter, you went from a 2.4 with a factory to a 2. To a higher bandwidth crystal. I think I forgot what you said, a 3.1 or 2 kilohertz bandwidth filter. And now what you're trying to do is get your sound and your fidelity to come up to the level of that filter that you came to, I'd like to review the exact settings you have. I did a very similar thing on this radio. On this radio, I have 2.8 kilohertz 8-pole filter, and it has 6 dB skirts. And I have the advantage, Marty, this station UAM, the advantage here of having being able to hear myself when I speak in this high quality headphone. And what I ended up with, that filter ended up being flat. Granted, it will have some poles. I have some very slight poles, but those poles can only be about 1 dB at most. Ripple, it's called. I have to do ripple to the band pass, let's say, from 100 hertz to 3.4 one. There might be five or six little poles in there that ripple one. They're no problem for you whatsoever. What you run into is those 6 dB edges up there at the very, very top. Okay, it's a real rascal, and the one below end is, okay, that drops your voice and some of the stuff. That makes power. And so what you may want to do is, quite frankly, after I went through and I made some notes here of every one of those changes you made, you know the one that sounded the very best? The one where you were totally flat on the microphone. That's the one that sounded best, even though you might not be achieving the frequency response that you want. So what you really want to do is you want to compensate for the errors that are anywhere in your band pad. And assuming for a moment that your microphone is flat, you want to compensate for only two things. A third, you might want to put some selective compression in to deal with some noise issues on the band. But setting that aside for a moment, before you even get there, I think what you're trying to accomplish is fidelity. You're trying to come up to the level of this new filter, increased bandwidth, and its capabilities to get the most out of that in a pure audiophile sense of the word. And what I heard was, it's whenever you had everything out of the system, okay, as much as possible out of the system, that's when you sounded best. Now, there's two errors you want to correct for. One is that filter itself. It very well could have a 12 dB process. Okay, depending on what kind of filter it is. Okay, in other words, that rounded edge up there at the top, where it's supposed to be 3 kilohertz, and it's 3.2 kilohertz down, it very well could be 6 dB, 9 dB down. Okay, and that's what you want to compensate there for. The other thing you want to compensate for is any unnatural unflatness in the microphone itself. Now, if it's a ceramic microphone, it will tend to be in and of itself an electret microphone, or an electret microphone especially, or a large-scale condenser microphone, it will tend to be fairly flat. A large scale will have a little bit of a pollen that you'll want to compensate for to make it sound natural. That's the second thing you'll want to compensate for. So one is the filter itself, the other one is just the microphone to get flat. So in other words, that means that if you were to compare, if there is a curve that shouldn't be there, everything should be flat on the microphone itself, you want to compensate for that. If there's a curve on the filter, which there no doubt is, you want to compensate for that. And this would be totally consistent with what I already heard here. What I heard is everything sounded better the more you took all of the compensations out. Now, that's seldom the case. And like, for example, a lot of times with some of these higher microphones, it'll sound worse. Not because the Heil itself is not a flat microphone. Bob Heil will tell you that. There isn't an HC5 cartridge or anything around. It's not because of Heil and anything he had designed or built that way. It's just the sluggish nature of a dynamic microphone itself is not a consonant microphone. So it really has to be compensated to make it flat, but most people want to make that microphone sound more unnatural. They want to do what Vic did, you know? So what Vic does there with his audio. But you want to compensate those two levels. You want to compensate for the mic itself, but most of all for that filter. So I would say that we're probably going, my wild guess, WAG, wild ass guess here, station KD8LUU for ID. My wild guess is that you're going to sound a lot better when you push that high frequency dip. You use the most high frequency setting you have. You leave everything else on your microphone. Turn everything else off. Set your level below the clipping level to where it'll never exacerbate or turn on any processor feature that will soft clip your microphone. To have your level below that level, and then set the highest frequency you can. Quite frankly, if you have a 2800 hertz detent on your equalizer poles. Maybe you have an 8-band equalizer, if you have one at 2800, one at 26, one at 3000, shove that one to the right, and then begin backing off. and it'll take care of that that rounded edge that will happen on your, that does, that keeps you from getting all the fidelity you want. It'll match it up. It'll, it's curved downward, and the equalizer will bring that level up to a normal and restore the actual fidelity, okay, of the pass-through signal. Then if your microphone is a dynamic microphone, it'll have an over peakiness in the lower mid range, over a sluggish bassiness. It's a non-consonant for the most part. Not arrive consonantly with the mid frequencies, and you'll have a schmoozy sounding, cheesy sounding high end on a dynamic microphone. That can't be really fixed. Okay, that cannot be really fixed at all. But so what I would do is I would start your bottom end flat. What you'll probably end up with, it sounds the best, Marty, is that the highest frequency pole that's up around 3 kilohertz, turned up all the way, okay, and then maybe selectively tuned down and optimized the sound, and then the very, very bottom also boosted. The very, very bottom also boosted. It was, and if that were to happen, it would not make your bassy sounding at all. All likelihood, Marty. If you have a good flat, a good flat, large condenser microphone there, okay. But if you have a dynamic, you'll have to do a little screwing with the mid-range balance in order to make it flat. In other words, if you were to do a frequency response measurement through the whole band pass of your microphone and the other microphone's got a curve. Equalizer needs to rematch that curve. The filter's got a curve, and you need to use the equalizer to correct for all three in series. So, Marty, I said too much here. Back to you, KD8IEU.
Okay, while you were talking there, I made some changes. Before I continue on, do you have amplification, or are you already running it?
The band is changing. There's QSB and some deep fades.
And then I'll tell you which microphone I have.
Okay, I have an amplifier on. Am I losing? I'm not tuned up. Hang on for a minute. I need to get tuned up. Just a minute.
Okay.
Okay, Marty, now I'm tuned up. Does that make any difference?
Well, it probably will. It turns out the band is in a fade right now, so I can't tell yet. But if you're giving me all you got, then I'm satisfied, happy. Before we lose contact, I'd like to get an email address from you and find out if you'll be available during the week. Would you be available during the week or not to do any radio testing and setting, over?
Well, we could set a schedule sometime in the morning, maybe around 9 o'clock or something like that. We could do that. I've got a couple of nets I participate in on 40 meters. Marty. We could do that. We want to make a schedule right around this frequency or something like that on during the week, starting maybe Monday, to look for each. I could give you about 15 minutes. How's that? That's about all I have. I'm going between nets there. Is that okay?
Well, let's see. I have a doctor's appointment Monday, Tuesday, and insurance inspectors coming from Wednesday. I have another doctor's appointment with my wife, actually. Would it be possible to just set something up on the fly, like maybe email you or anything, and maybe do it Thursday or Friday or Monday?
I'm going to look at the morning and evening, something like that, okay? that I could miss you by a day if I didn't do that, so we'll be doing that. Yeah, the address is S. Masterson, S-M-A-S-T-E-R-S-O-N, at insight, I-N-S-I-G-H-T, dot R-R dot com.
You have it, Marty?
Okay, I just jotted it down. I think I have it correctly. S. Masterson at insight, I-N-S-I-G-H-T dot R-R dot com. Is that it?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and I will respond there and try to work out something that I could be available for you. But this should be an easy thing. Quite frankly, the best setting of absolutely nothing onto a microphone that's the one that sounded the best. Now, it will not cut through the noise as well. Okay? And that's there where you want to maybe bring up a little bit of compression after the fact. But what I would do is, I don't know if you followed me there, quite frankly, if I heard what you're trying to achieve, you're trying to achieve true audio, not audio file quality, because that's impossible, but the highest fidelity sound that you could get. And the reason that you changed your filter out was is to increase the bandwidth and make it that you now want to be able to get the advantages of that bandwidth increased by changing that filter to a 3.1 or whatever it was, okay, versus the old two pitch down sound you had from the other one. So assuming that your amplifier chain and everything is fairly flat, okay, all the way through, and not causing a problem in and of itself, to that filter, okay, that filter itself has a problem. And the problem is it's not 3.1 kilohertz wide. Okay, it's probably somewhere around 2.8 or 2.9 kilohertz wide at a 0 dB insertion loss. Okay, and what you want to do is put a boost in there that will bring that back up. Okay, in my case, I ended up with far more boost to compensate for that than I could ever imagine. It didn't matter that I put even extra boost in. So I would start up almost finding the highest filter you have and put it in there, and you'll probably accomplish what you want there if your microphone is flat. If your microphone in and of itself is not flat, okay, then you'll want to compensate for the microphone somewhere in the mid-range as well. And that's about, you sounded very mid-range natural without that all that lousy processing chunk in the middle. So it tends to me to think that you probably got a fairly flat microphone. Now I'm curious to hear what kind of microphone you have. Now, am I wrong about what you want to achieve? Now that you told me that you wanted to get the highest fidelity you can out of it. And then if you need some radio effects after you have that high frequency boost, you're already going to get some of the Vic effect already just by having boosted the high end to some extent and bringing the highs out in your voice that were being attenuated. They were being attenuated by that new filter you put in, believe it or not, even though it increased some of the high end, it also attenuates some of it. It doesn't allow the bandpass to be all that it could be, and putting that high-frequency adjustment back in compensates for that, and you'll get some of that Vic effect of quieting, and if you need some more quieting, you just boost compression a little bit, you'll probably hit a home run for what you want. Back to you, Marty, KD8IU.
Okay, while you were talking, I adjusted the 31-band equalizer sort of the way that I understood you to tell me to do. It's now different than it's ever been, although I maintained my noise limiter gate settings from what you helped me with before, and it's very close to how it was on the LibertyNet, except there's a tad more compression now and a tad more control. In other words, the peak stop limiter is stopping the overshoots, so to speak, and I guess preventing any clipping by doing so.
Right. I kept it more within a sweet spot. I went to the extremes both ways, and you told me when I took it too far. So I'm losing my voice, by the way, all these hours of talking. So, and the band is going out, so you're not able to hear me as well to make a really good critique, probably. But I'll tell you what microphone I have. I wish I could say that I have the large condenser mic, because I do realize that that would be the best for this situation, except for one thing, perhaps, and that is the fan noise on my rig. I have to design some kind of acoustical chamber. It's an FT-1000D, and even on low, it really makes noise. And I can't buy a new fan. They don't make them anymore. And I can't do anything except shielding to make it quieter. In fact, it just kicked up the highway now, so that's really noisy. So because of that, I'm using not a large condenser microphone. I'm using a professional commercial microphone, which is dynamic, and I know you hate dynamics, but it's, in theory, a good dynamic. It's a Sennheiser, and it's used by the networks, for voice and for like football, coverage and all that. It's an $800 headset, and it's an HMD25HQ. In case that means anything to you, probably not. I wouldn't know, but it's pretty flat, and it's I guess somehow artificially compensated for to not have the peaky Heil. HD 5 element, or 4 element especially. But yeah, I know Heil really lucked into that. All he did was get a cheap cartridge that inherently was that way due to its crudeness, and he made a lot of money on it by taking advantage of lack of quality control, so to speak, and attention to detail, because it just... You know the story. You have to close talk it and overdrive it, kind of. Well, not overdrive it, but you have to really put a lot into it because it doesn't have much response for the sound pressure put in. And, he sells that as a virtue because it knocks down the external noise. You end up having to close talk it. So you end up suffering and wearing out your voice, and for a long net, that doesn't agree with me. I want to be able to talk in a normal voice. And and even then, after, 8 hours, I'm losing my voice like I am now. It's actually more like 12 hours now, but you get the drift, because I was testing way before the LibertyNet last night. You had a chance now to listen to these settings, and you can make comment, but also make a comment about this. You made some statement about the way I sounded last night. You either said I sounded better, or I was the best one on the net, you might have said, or it might have been that I sounded better at a previous time, and I needed to know that. Clarification on what you said. Over.
To some extent, you sounded better at previous times. Now, maybe you mean by this time change is when you switch to your wider... transmit filter. Okay, when you did your soldering iron thing and changed that filter out, or whatever you did, or plugged in the new filter into the board or whatever. Okay, maybe that's what you mean. But no, I'm saying is from the last time I heard you, okay, which was probably about a week, 2 weeks ago. Okay, to this time. I was saying to myself last night when I was listening, something's happened to Marty's audio. It sounds very crisp, but he's sounding more Vic-like, but his mid-range is sort of sucked out, okay? And maybe it was the combination of all the settings that's causing that, maybe high compression. Compression would ordinarily not contribute that. It would tend to bring some of the mid-range back up. It would be lost by a lack of flatness in anywhere in the chain, okay, either microphone or the new filter, for example. So that's the Ben here. So, no, the first thing that then happened, you began to give me some comparisons this morning. You sent it back this morning to the way it was last night. And I was obviously with the big filter. And the two settings, the way it was last night, everything, you gave me three settings, and you went to three this morning. It took me back to the way it was with, originally. What you call the original setting, and that sounded the finest, the best of the all. Okay, the way you said you had it last night, and you demonstrated that this morning, those settings were what I called a little bit thicker sounding, really good high skill stability, somewhat in the mid range. Then all of a sudden, then there was the third set of things you did, which was all the setting of voice gate and other stuff that as you hear Dan play with us, tell me what you were doing, and what some of those were, and ask me to give you feedback of these things. The one that had the least amount of processing in there, okay, was the one that did sound the very, very best. And what I'm suggesting is the closest to getting is to getting everything but maybe the soft something that you pulled out of there. Max the lowest microphone level that you can inject into that system. The lowest amount of hitting ever the soft something when you get close to the microphone or something like that. And that is the sort of the time you never get that clipping control or whatever you call it on your thing. And then you have start off with no compression. I would say use no compression. Use the minimalist, use the lowest microphone gain setting, use the most maximal. That will sound best. All these things will sound the best. And use the least amount of soft clip that you have to only protect you when you accidentally get too close to the mic or something like that. And you do this. Take upstairs, what do you have? A 18 band equalizer or something? Reciprocal like that. Okay, well, you probably have some close space equalizers in up on the top end. I don't know where they are. You might tell me what they are. Okay, but I'm saying you only, right now, the only thing you want to compensate for, because things sound so good when they're flat right now, when you don't have all that other stuff in there screwing things up, what you want to do now is compensate for that filter. Okay, so you want to take that filter and its top edge, it's the 3100 filter. What you want is you want a filter that begins around 2800 and adds some boost there on a curve that begins to go upward. You might want to put like 10 dB or 12 dB or 15 dB of boost up there. And but if it's a close space filter that is going to if all of a sudden you find your choices are things like 2600, 2700, 2800, 2900, you'll want to make them act in concert. Otherwise, if they're maybe 400 or 500 hertz wide, you'll just want to use one of them. In other words, you want to have them be progressively stacked in a smooth curve, okay, if they're close. But if they're about 400 or 500 hertz wide, you'll want to just use one of them. So, then you don't want any processing anything below, except maybe you'll want to do the same thing and boost the bass as well at the deepest bass in the 100 hertz region, and that would be it. Okay, your microphone will probably sound its very, very best because the filter you put in there is probably very, very flat, except for the upper top edge where it's very rounded, where you need to compensate for it. That would be an easy experiment we could do right here, and I could tell you how we sound. You sound differently. You want to go back and say, what was the best sound you had today? Of all the settings you were at, the best sound you had, Marty, the station KDIU, for just ID, the best one was the one with the very least amount in it of everything. You might want to just reduce your microphone gain as much as possible and use it as good of a threshold control of where you actually get the invoke turn on the LEDs or whatever it is on your clipping circuit there and make sure that 90% of the time you talk, you never invoke it, but you're right at that threshold and keep your voice kind of steady. And then, the very last thing you want to do for adjustment, okay, is then only try to bring up the, what do you call it, the compression to help compensate for the noise on the ground. And that'll you'll be a shock. If you bring the compression up in, it'll even help everything else. But before you begin, at other points bringing that in, it will mess things worse. Marty K. Back to you, Marty K8IU.
Okay, this is N2IRJ. It turns out that Kevin might be, for all I know, recording this. He went to sleep about 6 hours ago, and sometimes he leaves the recording run, so who knows, I might be able to listen to myself since we stayed on frequency here. But anyway, I've set the equalizer kind of along the guidelines that you suggested, but I think it's going to take time. Also, it's going to take varying conditions. The band's going out on us now, and it's kind of light when it's more reflective, and I'm giving you like a 30 over. Then I think you can make a better evaluation. Kevin will be sad to hear that last night was worse than in the past. In the past, I set it to my own specs, and last night I set it to his specs, and I thought that it was better, but if you're saying that it wasn't, no hard feelings. We're all audiophiles together, fighting for the same thing. He didn't have time to fully refine it with me, so there's no criticism against him. In fact, he holds you in high esteem. I don't know if you know Kevin or not, WB4AIO. He did a ton of work in helping me get this phone patch system working. And I remember him telling me a story about you once. Somebody was giving you a hard time. And I don't remember who the somebody was. I'll have to ask him. But he thought the person was really a jackass. And he didn't know why that person was doing it, because I think the guy might have been an AMer who normally doesn't act that way. And he was completely on your side. Like I said, held you in high esteem. So that's the only relationship I know about you, what he thinks regarding you, but it's all positive. So anyway, with my voice going bad and with conditions going bad, can you give me any feedback of how it's sounding now compared to when we first started? And if it's sounding worse, that's okay. I need to know that. I'll push the button and make it go back to a mere 60 dB change instead of the drastic change. Right now, I did what you said. I compensated at the high edge of where the filter would be cutting off, and also at the bottom. Down around 100, and I sort of left the mid-range alone, more neutral. And, I'll quit talking, and you can tell me what, N2IRJ.
Yeah, N2IRJ, KD8IU. Very good, Marty. Let's see. Okay, now here's what's happening is we're getting QSB and stuff like that, here, and but I am able to hear you nonetheless, and I am able to hear you nonetheless, but you sort of went to what was I called an intermediate setting where you had some of that processing in there. If you went through various stages of this thing, the one that stuck out to me was you described where you had nothing in, you described yet you left the last sentence, you had some intermediate processing, the noise gate, and you had some intermediate amount of compression and other stuff. I'm saying take the compression out, and then you can put it back in after you get done with it, because it sounded best when you had the absolute minimal of everything. Believe it or not, it really sounded the best. And I think that's what you want to accomplish, that fidelity. So then all you need to do is add that boost and then put the compression back in at the very, very end. So I can still hear quite a bit of... much more natural to me, you said you boosted the bass. I can hear the increase in the bass. It sounds a little more, I'm hearing a little more room echo and slaps. It's very, very natural. By the way, that microphone, if nobody told me, I would think it was a condenser, but a large condenser microphone, like a Neumann or a good Chinese microphone or what have you, I would think that that's what it was. That explains why that headset is so expensive, and you have something else going for you. It's a headset that you're using. It's a dynamic microphone in a headset. That means a small dynamic element, not a large one. Okay, now that works. That will work even better, because a typical dynamic microphone will be sluggish. It will not have the kind of fidelity I'm hearing out of that microphone. That microphone is very unusual. It's better sounding than 90% of the dynamic microphones that are out there, which is really astonishingly a good sound. So in and of itself, it sounds like a large condenser microphone. Even a large condenser microphone can have a little bass lug issue to not hearing in that microphone you have there. When you put that boost in, it's not taking away a thing. It's just showing maybe the reflection of your little bit of deep vocal sounds you have coming out of your voice picked up. Now it's picking up the room a little bit more like it should, allowing your voice to come through. And now what you're hearing is the slap of those being allowed off the walls in your room. Okay, can come back. Very, very natural sound. Excellent. The bass is not hurting the thing. And the highs, my only concern is are you turning it over the right place? How close are those filters up there? Okay, above 2,500 hertz. You want everything above 2,500 hertz. I would say if you got one at 2,600 and it extends all the way out to 3 kilohertz, let that go up. Turn that to the right pretty much, you'd be amazed. It'll correct for that curve downward on that new filter that you have. That new filter that's 3,200 hertz. It's not a 3,200 hertz. It's a 2,900 hertz filter because of its natural TV per octave. They don't tell you where that roll off is on the edge of that thing. So that's why you wanted more fidelity out of that. It could be made up by your equalizer, making your net output flat to compensate for what's rolled off up there. So I'm just curious what peak pitch you're using on a high end, Marty. Which frequency pole are you using to boost?
The frequency
or using more than one that you're boosting? And how close are they up there in the 20? Above 2,500 hertz, or you have one that's 2,400, one that's 2,700, or what? Okay, you might have to stack those and increase the level. You want the one with the highest frequency closest to the 3.1 kilohertz bandwidth at that filter source that you're using to boost at the most. And you want the others to be gradually less if they're close. Otherwise, you want to just take the one that covers that whole speed spectrum out of the kilohertz.
Let her fly because as you
increase the level, it'll be a curve upward. It started zero crossing, and it'll be a curve up, and it will only help do it the right way.
Back to you, Martin, KDIU. This is WA4BVX with Chris, the frequency for the Tennessee phone network.
Request denied. We'll be off shortly. I'm going to tell you the difference. It's 2K, 2.5K, 3.1K, and 4K. Those are the ranges.
Yes, we'll be off shortly. Pardon 97, section 101, subsection D. Just a communication to the roads. There is that you get the direction you did request. We will be leaving here shortly with section KDIU. We have a few things to do. Finish up here because the FCC has been a purpose to use. And to continue to use it as we were there for the departing of a natural course of events here.
KD8IUU.
Well, thanks for your help, Dan, and I'll be in touch with you again. The band isn't ideal now for doing all this, and I appreciate the time you spent anyway. And I'll mention to Kevin that we talked. Over.
Well, very good there, Marty. Excellent. But you might, the next time you talk, just tell me what those V-pins are on your equalizer, where the poles are on that equalizer, Marty, and I think you'll accomplish what you want. You'll get that high end that you want that cuts through the noise because the filter is causing you to lose that high end right now. That new filter is, believe it or not. So 7-3, Marty, and we'll listen out to you, and then at that point we'll be naturally honoring these guys' requests. Back to you, Marty, for your final.
7-3 to you. Chat with you again. Take care. Bye-bye. Into IRJ, clearing out.
Yeah, KD8IU, sir. You guys enjoy your net now, KD8IU, sir.